Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, we're moving into installment number three of Peak Performances, the third quarter of the 2016 season, and some of the top individual efforts from games 9 through 12. And this segment of the season started with a couple more losses, unfortunately, for the Packers at Tennessee and at Washington, which stretched that losing streak to four games. But a couple of performances worth talking about from those defeats. Jordy Nelson against Tennessee, 12 catches for 126 yards and a touchdown. And then Jared Cook at Washington coming back from the injury, six catches, I believe it was, for 105 yards and a touchdown. I know there's not a whole lot to remember from that day in Nashville, Tennessee, but anytime a guy like Jordy Nelson, as accomplished a veteran as he is, sets a career high for pass receptions in one game, it's probably worth talking about.
Yeah, what's really interesting, Mike, is the Packers, when they started the season on that 4-2 run to kind of get off to that little bit of a fast start that they were looking for, Jordy Nelson was still kind of working his way back into things. And really, he had one nice performance against Detroit, you know, 100 yards and two touchdowns. But for the most part, it kind of been a complimentary player. What was kind of interesting about this is when they did go through this midseason stretch where they had a lot of, you know, adversity overcome, you had the four catches for 94 yards against Atlanta, seven for 94 and a touchdown against Indianapolis, and then finally, as you just mentioned, the 12 catch, 126-yard and one touchdown performance against Tennessee. Jordy Nelson came to life when the Packers' offense, I think, was at its lowest point. I mean, in terms of just trying to turn things around. And the Pro Bowl receiver that he's always been, the playmaking receiver that he's been, really came back, and the offense needed him.
Yeah, with Nelson, up until this game in Tennessee, he had had just the one 100-yard game, as you mentioned, against Detroit back in Week 3. But now this game against Tennessee, even though it was in a loss, it became the first of four 100-yard games that Nelson had in the second half of the season, as we really started to see him, you know, come into his own and kind of get back to being the Jordy of old. Now, also in the Tennessee game, Devontae Adams was kind of the big play guy offensively, had 156 yards, actually, I think on just five catches. But we've got another performance of Adams's to talk about later in the show.
Right.
But with regards to Nelson, I think you really saw him starting to get back into his comfort zone, I guess you'd say.
Well, and to bring up Adams there too, Mike, I mean, he had become really a nice 1-2 combo with Nelson. And that's not to say that Randall Cobb wasn't a part of that. He certainly was. And those two have been kind of the backbone of the passing game for many years now. But Adams really started to emerge in this stretch as well to be able to have the performance that he did against Tennessee. I mean, the one thing you forget in that game is that, yeah, the Packers were so hard up against it at the beginning. They gave up that big carry to DeMarco Murray at the start of it and kind of were playing from behind. But, you know, Rodgers was starting to work his way back into things. He did have two picks, but 371-yard receiving passing yards in that game. There was a lot of positives to draw from, and I think being able to get Nelson going again, seeing Adams emerge, kind of gave you a glimmer of hope for that offense going forward.
Yeah, and we saw the progression of that then the following week in Washington, which was really the game that Aaron Rodgers talked about starting to feel much more confident in the offense. And it was the return of Jared Cook from the ankle injury that cost him, I believe it was six games that he missed. With that ankle injury from back in September. And boy, immediately he became a tough matchup for the Washington Redskins defense, making plays one-on-one, you know, down the sideline, had a touchdown reception, unfortunately had a fumble in the fourth quarter after a catch that kind of was the final nail in the coffin, I guess you'd say, to the Packers' defeat that night. But what Jared Cook did that night was gave the Packers' offense another dimension that would become much, much more valuable as they started the winning streak than the following week.
Yeah, there were two things about Cook coming back that really impressed me, Mike. The first thing was, I mean, you got to tip your cap to the Packers and the training staff. They didn't rush him. That was a difficult stretch they were going through. Jared Cook could have really helped them, but they wanted to make sure that when he got back on the field, he was as close to 100%, if not 100%, in that situation. And that paid dividends for them. And I was really impressed the second half of that, how Cook was able to really immerse himself in the offense once he got back on the field. You talk a lot of times, Mike, about those lower body injuries, specifically the ankles. It's not easy to be down for that long and then have to jump back in things 100%, you know, 120 miles an hour. He really needed to make a quick conversion there, really be able to step his game up, and he did that right off the bat against Washington. I think that was one of the moments for this Packers offense where it's like, okay, this is what Jared Cook can bring us.
Yeah, and it wasn't something that was necessarily easy for him when you look back to the offseason when he missed some time with a foot injury, missed some time in training camp, then he misses this big stretch in the regular season. The chemistry that he showed with Aaron Rodgers, now it wasn't perfect right away in this Washington game. I believe there was a play down by the goal line where they didn't connect and it didn't look good. So it was still a work in progress. But for him to miss six games and all the time he had missed previously and then come out and have a 100-yard game with a touchdown, it was impressive. And it really gave the offense a spark on a night that, you know, even though it ended in a loss.
Yeah, and I think just watching him on the field that night at FedEx Stadium, that was the biggest thing that really impressed me. It's just that, okay, this guy looks like he belongs. And after all this conversation about what he could bring to the offense, you finally started to see it on the field.
Yeah, well, that's two of our five peak performances here from the third quarter of 2016. We'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. Wes, moving through our peak performances from games 9 through 12, the third quarter of the 2016 season. We have two to talk about from game 11, and that's the Monday night game in Philadelphia, what became the start of the eight-game winning streak for the Packers. And on this night, in the city of brotherly love, as they say, quarterback Aaron Rodgers and wide receiver Devontae Adams really both put on a show. Starting with Rodgers, now he takes the field on Monday night just a few days after he makes that run the table comment at his locker in front of reporters, and he went out and backed it up.
Yeah, Mike, and let's keep one thing in mind here, and I know we're going to talk a lot about this six-game winning streak coming up. The season could have ended in Philadelphia that night.
Yep.
Without that comment notwithstanding, this was it. This was their last chance. It didn't look good in Tennessee. There were glimmers of hope against Washington, but they still ended up, losing by two touchdowns. This is where they need to respond. And at that moment, they turn back to Aaron Rodgers. And you talk so often, it isn't just football. When you're down and you're up against it, you need your stars to emerge. And not that Rodgers hadn't emerged, but he really, with those words, put the entire team on his back, openly and freely accepted what that was going to mean. If the Packers didn't, if they didn't even come close to running the table, if they finished 6-10, 7-9, 8-8, those words would have fallen on hollow deaf ears.
Yeah.
But Rodgers responded, and it started in Philadelphia, and in a game, and on the road, a hostile environment. Everybody knows what it's like to play in Philadelphia, and Rodgers responded.
Yeah, he did. Got the Packers off to a fast start offensively, if I remember right, scoring touchdowns, I think, on the first two possessions of the game. You look at his numbers that night overall, incredibly efficient. 30 of 39, 313 yards, two passing touchdowns, a 116.7 rating. He's had games with better passer ratings, obviously, but when you look at his complete management of this game and how he kept the Packers offense moving all night long, and then finishing the night with that 17-play, 78-yard drive, took more than 8 minutes off the clock in the fourth quarter, kept Carson Wentz in that Philadelphia offense that needed to get back on the field to get back in the game, kept him on the sidelines for more than half of the fourth quarter. You tack on a field goal to go up by 14 points. Really just a well-rounded, rock-solid performance by the Packers QB.
You talk about, we often talk about, being able to do the little things, right? It's a segment on our, final thoughts every week during the season. This was a game in which the Packers did all the little things right. They got off to the fast start they wanted. They finished. Their four-minute offense was exceptional late. It allowed them to put that game away and not give Philadelphia a chance to, take back any momentum or be able to get some scoring drives together. They were just really, really efficient. And it started with Rodgers. This game is 30 for 30 completions on 39 attempts. This started that stretch, too, of Rodgers. Not just, throwing touchdowns or no interceptions. He was exceedingly surgical with how accurate he was during that stretch. 70-75% of the time was completing the pass, was getting the ball all quickly, and that's what allowed the playmakers around him to really start to shine.
Yeah, and the big playmaker I thought who shined the most, the next performance we're going to talk about from that night in Philadelphia, wide receiver Davante Adams. Now, he's had games better than five catches for 113 yards, which is what he had that night. But when you look at the type of plays that he made in that game, two touchdowns, the 20-yard touchdown, I believe it was the second one, with the defender right on him. He barely could even see the ball as Rodgers laid it in there in the back of the end zone. The type of plays that Adams was making in this game, he really, really stood out. I thought, personally, it was the best game of his career.
I agree, and they needed it. I mean, this was a performance where, you know, you're not always going to be able to make those throws that Rodgers made. It's not – that isn't – everyday quarterbacks can't make those throws. But the key is it always takes more than one party. The receiver needs to catch it. I think back to the preseason. You remember there was that one pass. I think it was like a 40-yard pass that Joe Callahan threw, and Devontae couldn't bring it in. And then in the locker room afterwards, when Aaron Rodgers was addressing the media, he said, yeah, I think he's going to owe Joe an apology on that.
Right.
Devontae, throughout the course of the season, made those big plays. And that was the 20-yard one is one. I remember writing about it after the game. He said, you know, with the lights of the stadium were really in his eyes at that point. You're talking about Aaron Rodgers, a really accurate and hard-throwing passer. For him to look that in, and also, by the way, not tip his hand to where the ball is going to be, because the defensive back can't see it. If he gets his ball, if he gets his hands up too quickly, the defensive back's going to be cued to that there's a ball coming in. He didn't do that. It was the late hands technique. Got it down, got the touchdown, and really some primetime performances in that game.
Yeah, I thought that was, when you talk about one of those, oh, wow, like jaw-dropping plays from the 2016 season, that touchdown pass to Davante Adams. His second of the night, he had caught a 12-yard slant for a touchdown to finish off the opening drive and was off to a good start in the ball game. But then that one, you know, over the defender's shoulder right there as he's sliding and getting his knee in bounds in the back of the end zone. I mean, you know, you and I were sitting next to each other in the press box, and it was just like, wow, like how did they pull that off? And then you fast forward then a little bit later in the game, and you could see the confidence developing, the chemistry developing between Rodgers and Adams. Rodgers threw one deep down the field, gave Adams a chance one-on-one with a defender. He goes up and just outfought the guy for the ball for a 50-yard reception that led to some more points. Those were the types of plays that the Packers needed, as you said when we started this discussion, in a game they absolutely had to have.
Yeah, and Adams tested off the charts coming out of Fresno State. I mean, his athleticism, vertical, all really top-notch. But what's impressed me the most, particularly during this third NFL season where he truly broke out, was his ability to bring in those contested catches, what would be the quote-unquote 50-50 balls. It wasn't 50-50 with him. I mean, for the most part, he was coming down with that and making plays. And I think that's really, when you look at his entire season, what separated him and being able to have the performances that he did.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, we've got one more of these five peak performances to talk about, Wes, after the break. We'll get to that. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, the fifth of our five peak performances from this segment of the 2016 season, you go to the Houston game. Nothing sexy or jaw-dropping about this one as we transition from that Philadelphia game, but a snowy day, early December at Lambeau Field. You kind of knew going in that field position would maybe play a key part in this game against the AFC South leading Houston Texans. And punter Jake Shum, he kept sticking the Texans back inside their own 20-yard line and giving the Packers defense a really nice cushion to work with in terms of defending turf and not allowing Houston to really get anything going.
Yeah, this was the beginning of a really important stretch for Shum and some really interesting matchups too. I mean, he was going up against Shane Leckler, who arguably is one of the best punters of this generation
in
the NFL, certainly one of the best legs that we've seen in the some time. And for him to go out there against Houston, you got to keep in mind, Shum had only punted once against Philadelphia, and for the season, I think was like the third or fourth, you know, least active punter in the league. The Packers' offense, for the most part, was really able to move the ball well this year. But when they needed him, this was an important game, and the offense did have a little bit of a hard time coming out of the gates, and they needed to be able to push Houston back. I mean, you have to remember, Brock Osweiler is going through a tough time at this point in the season. A lot of questions about, you know, if he should be the starter, if Tom Savage should get a shot. And also Lamar Miller was on his way to a 1,000-yard season. So field position was going to be really important, and Shum did his job when it came down to it.
Yeah, five punts for the Packers punter in this game, three of them inside the Houston 20-yard line. Statistically, the averages were 43 yards on the gross average and 35.8 net, but it was back-to-back punts that were pinned at the 11-yard line. And as you mentioned, with Osweiler, you know, kind of trying to find himself and really get this Houston offense going, when you walk out there and have, you know, 80 plus 90 yards to go to get a touchdown, it's hard to get things going. And the Packers were able to use that to their advantage. If I recall, Houston didn't find the end zone in this game until late in the fourth quarter, right, when the game had basically been put away. And field position had a lot to do with that.
It did, Mike. And you got to remember, too, going into this season, Mike McCarthy, one of the big things, is especially he put out there, and I have to imagine it was really hammered home, you know, in meeting rooms, was the importance of field position, the importance of time of possession, winning those battles, and how that translates to winning in the column, you know, at the end of the day. Punting was a big part of that. And when they claimed Jake Shum off waivers from Tampa Bay the last week of the preseason, they handed the keys to the castle to him. And there really wasn't a backup plan. I mean, he got one chance in Kansas City. Otherwise, he was the guy. He had to get on the same page with Mason Crosby as far as holding the football and field goals. And he had to get accustomed to how the Packers and what they expected out of their punter. And he did that. And I think you saw as the season went on, he got stronger and stronger and was able to really do a fantastic job of positioning and really being precise in where he was placing the football. This was a big game for that because the Packers needed to be able to maintain that field position. When you're scoring, it's great. When you're getting downfield, it's awesome. But there are going to be instances where you're going to be stopped, and it's what you do to maximize that field position that sometimes can be the biggest difference between whether or not you walk out of there with a victory.
Yeah, and doing that in those winter conditions at Lambeau Field, not easy for the guys in the kicking game there. So with that, Wes, let's take care of a little bit of sponsor business. We all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game, and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, we've gone over all five of the peak performances from games 9 through 12. They're also on Packers.com, and fans can cast a vote for their favorite on the website. To quickly recap here, Jordy Nelson in Tennessee, 12 catches, 126 yards, and a touchdown. Jared Cook in Washington, 6 catches for 105 with a touchdown. Aaron Rodgers in Philadelphia, 30 of 39, 313 yards, 2 touchdowns, 116.7 rating. Devontae Adams in Philadelphia, 5 catches, 113 yards, and 2 scores. And then Jake Shum, the punter against Houston, 3 of 5 punts inside the 20-yard line in the snow at Lambeau with a 43-yard average. So, your vote, what's your favorite?
I think you have to go with Aaron Rodgers. And it's kind of a cop-out. I know it's Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about two-time MVP quarterback. Go figure. But his words were so important at that time, and not just what he said, but then what he did on the field. Got to remember all the things that were going on outside and just the voices that were being shouted, people questioning the entire system, questioning his leadership, questioning what Mike McCarthy had built. And he really came back, and I thought he always plays his best when these situations develop, when there's something to prove. And Rodgers almost, in a way, had to almost defend everything the Packers stood for at that point in time, what the foundation was, what it meant to be a Green Bay Packer, and what it meant to be a leader for this offense. He embodied all that, so it didn't even matter at that point who his surrounding cast was. Obviously, you need playmakers, but he made everything work, and I thought that Philadelphia game with, as Mike McCarthy said, their backs up against it, they responded, and that started with Rodgers and how he set the tempo that previous week.
Yeah, I would agree with you in terms of what that meant and what was on Rodgers' shoulders at that time. For my vote, it's tempting to perhaps choose Jared Cook in Washington because that was such a shift in the offense and right, what he meant and the matchup problems that he caused the rest of the way. but it's also hard for me not to pick Davante Adams in Philadelphia. And it's because of what I said earlier, that I really thought it was the best game of his career. This is a guy who his second season in 2015 did not go as planned. He took a lot of heat from the fans. A lot of people wondered if he was really going to be a starting caliber wide receiver in the NFL. This season, he proved that all that talk from 2015 was nonsense. A lot of it had to do with his health and his injuries. We saw him start to really break out with the big plays against Tennessee, as I mentioned, 5 catches for 156 in Tennessee that day. But this game, these 2 touchdowns that he had against Philadelphia, the 50-yard catch on kind of that 50-50 ball down the sideline, that was a big play. I just thought he really, really stood out and was really one of my favorite performances individually to watch all season
long. Yeah, Mike, when you think back to 2015, in addition to there being some sputtering with the offense, one of the biggest criticisms was the red zone and being able to finish drives. Adams and Jordy Nelson, both of those guys, were so important to that this year. Adams having 12 touchdowns. I think he had one, I want to say, in 2015.
Maybe right, yeah.
And for him to come out and not only be the playmaker that he was between the 20s, because that's obviously important, you need to move the chains, but he just had a knack for finding open space in the red zone, and that's really important. And I think him being able to, I thought this game kind of epitomized that, of what he can do and what kind of threat he can be once you do get in that scoring range.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to remember from this Philadelphia game, not just because it started that winning streak, but you know, we felt like for the first time really in a long time, maybe the Packers offense was looking like it did in 2014. Yeah. And sure enough, they got back to another conference championship game.
And that was quite the run to be able to make it that far. It's been something to watch.
Definitely. Well, that'll be a wrap on peak performances for the third quarter of the 2016 season and a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. You can find the team account at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and we will see you next time.